Well, I know America is messed up, and I know much of the church is backslidden, but you know, God is ready to do something radical, and he's looking for someone just like you.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I've got a whole bunch of things to speak to you about. I believe your hearts are going to be encouraged. I believe you're going to be challenged. I believe some of the very reasons that we are on the radio will become more real to you today and will bless and help you personally. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire. If I sound a little congested, I am, but I'm doing well. I am blessed and strong. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-384-8784. I knew when I got back from extensive travel, it's been one trip after another overseas, China in November, India in December, Spain in January, and then a lot of stateside trips in the midst of it and heavy schedule and different climates. I knew I was feeling a little run down. I went in, worked out. Couple days, in fact, I was being shown some techniques working on a heavy bag just for cardio workout purposes and hit a kick in correctly, hit it straight on with my big toe, which kind of split halfway down the middle and broke. A little painful, still a little sore, but otherwise feeling all right. But as the week went on, by Friday, I knew something's not right. Went to the doctor, found out I had bronchitis. Actually, they said acute bronchitis, and then I had a cold on top of it, but I had a restful weekend. I'm feeling strong. I'm feeling blessed and encouraged in the Lord. And today, we're inviting you to join with us. We're inviting you to stand with us. We are beginning 21 days of prayer and fasting with our ministry team, and we're inviting you to partner with us in prayer. And if the Lord lays it on your heart with fasting, he has set before us amazing open doors. The Lord has brought us to the kingdom. I say this without hype, for such a time as this. I know that there are things God has laid on my heart, burdened me for, had me pray for many, many years, for decades. And we are now seeing some of those things unfolding in front of our eyes. The fact that I'm speaking to you by radio. Here, let me say this specifically to all my friends in New York listening on WMCA. The fact I'm speaking to you on WMCA, this is something I journaled many, many years ago. I was driving home from Times Square Church after ministering there on a Sunday in 1993 in Manhattan when I lived in Maryland at that time. Driving home, and whether I'd been listening to the radio or whatever it was that prompted it, when I got home, I journaled that God was calling me to be on national talk radio and also to speak to the secular media as a voice of moral and cultural revolution based on the gospel, radical change based on the gospel, being prophetic witnesses to our society as God's people based on the gospel, not fighting the way people fight, not with anger and hatred and intimidation and force, but with the wisdom of God, with the word of God, with the spirit of God, with the truth of God. I know America is in terrible shape right now. I understand that. I understand the crisis within the church, especially with the younger generation, but I know God. I know God. And I journaled these things. I journaled that I was supposed to be on, for example, of the different stations I'm speaking to. On WMCA, many of the Salem stations I'm on right now, I journaled that before the Lord, not out of ambition, but out of a sense of calling to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. We have opportunity to expand on more stations. We are stretched to the limit. We have to believe God every month for $30,000 above and beyond our budget just to maintain where we are currently. And we met with I met with some of our senior team, and I said, the doors are open. I'll share more of those with you a little later. And I want to encourage you personally. You personally, yes. You, whoever you are, yes. The less qualified you are, the more encouragement I have for you. But we said everything's wide open in front of us. We just need that promised breakthrough. So we're going to God.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Someone sent me a note the day after I was on Piers Morgan in December, so about 6 weeks ago. Good job, Dr. Brown. I think this is the time you were made for. Your time to lead the revolution in truth and love has come. God bless you. We each have our part. We each have a role to play. And I want to articulate plainly what I'm believing God for and asking God for and how each of us can play a role in that. But I know the role God's given me to play. I know the place that I have. There are no superstars. There are no celebrities in the body. We're all servants. We are sons of God relationally. We are servants of God vocationally. We are all servants. The one who waters is nothing. The one who plants is nothing. It's God who gives the increase. No flesh boasts in his presence, but that also means that God uses flesh and blood, that God uses regular people. And we are on these airwaves for a purpose, nationally, internationally, and connected with the lost sheep of the house of Israel as well. Now, I want you to tell me honestly, in your gut, you can disagree with me, you can affirm every word I'm saying. In your gut, do you believe that America's best days are behind us, morally and spiritually? Not talking economically, I'm not talking world influence. Do you believe America's best days, morally and spiritually, are behind us? 866-34-TRUTH. Maybe your theology dictates that. Maybe your theology dictates the opposite. Maybe your personal experience plays into it. But in your gut, in your heart of hearts before the Lord, do you believe America's best days, morally and spiritually, are behind us? Or could they still be ahead of us? Now, I think I'm pretty qualified to give you a long list of reasons why they are behind us. I think I'm qualified to tell you about all of the problems that we have. I'm certainly not with my head in the sand about this. I'm certainly not in the dark in terms of our history and our present situation. And in the natural, things look bleak. In the natural, things look dark. But where does the Word of God tell us to base our faith or base our expectation on what we see with our eyes? Where does the Word of God tell us simply to come to conclusions based on the newscasts and the media and our social prognostications? Where is that written anywhere in Scripture? Are we not to look to God? Are we not to put our trust in Him? Are we not to get our sense of what to expect based on what He has written and who He is and what He is speaking by His Spirit today? Now, let me say again, you may feel very differently about this than I do. And I want to hear from you, and I want to know why. But look, I had Reinhard Bonnke on the air with me March. In fact, I remember it was March 15th of 2011. It was the second day that we had expanded to our current national platform with some of the large cities and regions that we cover today that we didn't only a few days before that. And Reinhard Bonnke talked about being a young missionary from Germany. His father didn't believe in him doing it. His father thought that he was rejected the son's call when the son told him expectantly. Reinhard told his father about his calling to be a missionary to Africa. His father basically scorned it, but he knew he had that calling. He's in a small African country of Lesotho. And while he's there, he's doing street evangelism. He's on a street corner with his accordion, singing and preaching. He's seeing no fruit whatsoever. He has a dream. And here's the context. He's just finished a meeting. In this meeting, he preached to five people. That was his big audience. He preached to five people. and none of them responded to the gospel. So think, you're giving your life in a foreign country. You can only gather five people to hear the message. You preach your heart out, and nobody responds. He falls asleep that night and has a dream. And in the dream, he hears the Lord say in a thundering voice, he sees a picture of Africa, a map of Africa, and it's covered in the blood of Jesus. It's washed in the blood of Jesus. He sees a blood-washed Africa from Cape Town, in the south, to Cairo in the north. And he hears the Lord say, Africa shall be saved. He hears it thunder. Africa shall be saved. And he was so excited when he woke up, but then he concluded it must be something he ate, because you're crazy. You're crazy. You gather five people to preach last night. None of them received the gospel. You're sitting on a street corner with an accordion doing outreach. Well, he had the dream four straight nights. And he knew it was God speaking. And after that, everyone he met, he'd say, have you heard? Have you heard? Africa shall be saved. Africa shall be saved. Now, he has only been one person used in the gospel in Africa. And he read to our students when he ministered to them in Pensacola, Florida, and we were there years ago, the words of David Livingston. David Livingston, as a missionary there in the 1800s, said that the day will come that evangelist missionaries in Africa will see thousands of Africans saved in a single day. He said, but let them not forget those of us who labored in tears for years without seeing a single convert. So Bonnke would be the first to say that others have paved the way with prayer, with tears, with intercession, with martyrdom, and that continues until this day. He's just one voice, but he has personally seen millions and millions and millions of Africans turn from idolatry and turn from animism and turn from Islam and turn to Jesus and be saved dramatically, extraordinarily, supernaturally, to the point that they've had meetings with several million people. Government even said 4 or 5 million. Bonnke's people said about 2.5 million. And over, they had 200,000 laborers in a single meeting, trained to counsel those that prayed to receive the Lord and get them plugged into local churches. But over 1 million people prayed that particular night, even if half of it wasn't real. I mean, think of the size of that harvest. And the churches have shown it, and the growth is dramatic across Africa. Oh, much of it very raw, much of it very new, much of it needing discipleship. Now it's one of our ministry school students that's taken over almost all the preaching in Africa for Reinhard Bonnke, Dan Kalenda for Christ for All Nations, and he's seeing the same kinds of things. And they went back to Lesotho with the prime minister of the country welcoming them these many, many years later. Now Bonnke's preaching in America. He's in his 70s. He's got this tremendous burden for America, believing the same way. God's going to rock America with a radical gospel move, and there's going to be a wave of salvation that spreads across the nation. I watched the Super Bowl with family last night and thought it'd be nice to see Peyton Manning win and the whole fairy tale story of this year. If you followed the game at all, you know about it. If not, don't worry about it. And with the opening snap of the game, we kind of thought, well, this may not happen. And of course, they got trounced. And I've read that Peyton Manning's a professing Christian, don't know much about his background. But Russell Wilson, the quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks that won, is known as a committed Christian. And his dad used to tell him, because he's only 5'11", which is small for an NFL quarterback. His dad used to say to him, Russell, why not you? Why not you? Why not you? And he knew he could win. He could do it. Why not me? Why not? And his dad died, complications of diabetes in 2010. But that message, why not you, got into Russell Wilson's skin enough that he told his team, this is a post-game interview, the first interview right after the game, that's all I watched. He told his team from the first preseason game, the beginning of the season, why not us? Why not us? Why not us? I wrote an article last night, a message from the Super Bowl, why not us? I encourage you to read it. Go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and click on latest article. I believe your heart will be stirred. And I talk about who God uses. some stories I'll share with you later in the broadcast about John Payton, missionary to South Sea Islands, and Gladys Aylward, courageous missionary to China. These people whom God used dramatically and remarkably. Look, I'm looking at a story. U.S. abortion rate hits lowest level since 1973. Well, it's still hundreds of thousands of babies being killed every year. At the same time, progress is being made. You know, a generation back, this seemed impossible. A generation back, it was clear we've turned the corner here. This is a pro-abortion nation. This is the enlightened position. And yet pro-lifers stood tirelessly. Many of them suffered greatly rather than lose the lives of these preborn children. Friends, with God, all things are possible. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I remember sitting at chapel one day, and it's crazy how God will come to you, even in the most small, subtle voice, maybe even a whisper. And he'll tell you, you don't have to do this alone anymore. You're not by yourself. And I think at that moment, I realized that God had always been there for me. Always, since I had been a very small child, that even though I thought I was being independent and doing things on my own, I couldn't have done any of those things.
Testimony from Russell Okung on the Seattle Seahawks. And there's that message in terms of God speaking to us. You're not doing this alone. You're not doing this alone. In the natural, America has gone too far to turn back. In the natural, the church has given up its witness. In the natural, it's too late for revival and for moral and cultural revolution in America. But who called us to look at things in the natural? I'm not on the radio simply to give a dying call before we go down for the last time, or simply to tell the nation and the church, I told you so. No, even if we hit complete collapse, even if a generation was lost and we hit complete collapse, that doesn't say it's the end of the story, and I believe God. So I'm going to go to your calls in a moment. I want to hear from you honestly. Like I said, you can agree with me, you can disagree with me. I want to hear what's in your heart. Has God put anticipation in your heart? Has God put expectation in your heart? Do you have the notion that, hey, we're out of here soon, it's all over, everything's coming down, this is what's prophesied? Or do you say in the midst of gross darkness, that's when the light shines the most? And could it be that God could work with many or with few? I quote this in my article, A Message from the Super Bowl, Why Not Us? Psalm 33, the king is not saved by his great army, a warrior is not delivered by his great strength, the war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. Well, what else is a king going to look to but his great army? What else is a warrior going to look to but his great strength? Jonathan said to his armor bearer, 1 Samuel 14, it may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few. I was listening to a message yesterday afternoon from Pastor Jim Cimbala, a famous message of his that he had delivered on My House Shall Be Called a House of Prayer at a praise gathering. And he mentioned that he had no Bible school or seminary training, and here God's raised him up to be one of the most influential pastors in the nation for many years now. And he was saying it's God who does the work through us, through yielded vessels. Why can't God use you to touch your region? Why can't God use you to shake a school district? Why can't God use you to impact a young generation or an old generation? Why can't God use you to make a difference on the mission field? 866-34-TRUTH. So we are right now asking you to join us in 21 days of prayer and fasting. Every day, would you just go to the Lord on our behalf and ask him to back his vision with his provision, to ask him for the funds, for the supernatural increase in funding that we need? If you're not on my email list, please go there now. Go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and click on the email icon. You'll see an email icon there, and then you can get our email, our emails that we send out. I'll be sending one out a little bit later today, letting you know exactly what we're asking God for. If the Lord lays it on your heart to fast, please do that. But we know it's for such a time as this we've been brought into the kingdom. We know, I know in my heart that this is the hour that God's spoken to me about for years and years, where we can make a difference for the gospel. And one thing everyone can do, and it's the most effective thing of all, is pray. We're asking you to pray with us that God would work supernaturally. Let's go to the phones, starting with Dio in Greenbelt, Maryland. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thanks. I love your illustrations that you used, and that helps me to answer the question that, you know, most of our social history as a species, as well as the in the graces of God, is not linear. It's convoluted, and that's why we have times of grace and times of judgment. I would, recall the entire experience of your people, the Jewish people, when they were Hebrews till now. So even during the Holocaust, it wasn't the end of them. The remnant survives, and now the Gentiles and the Jews are believing together, coming together. John 3:16 still is the most famous and beloved verse, because God loves all his people. There's times and seasons for all of them. In one sense, it's ended for America because, you know, as a South Asian from South Africa, I came here believing in the freedom to speak. But in the 80s, they didn't want someone like me speaking against apartheid. They were hoping they'll find Indians supporting the apartheid system. And so I didn't see the fulfillment of freedom of speech here. And now with Obama spying on us, we tend
and
to...
who knows? Yeah, who knows how long the spying has gone on with other administrations as well. It's certainly acute
but,
now.
But the point being that I see the silver lining is that we no longer idolize America like we used to. The flag and the president is... they are less of idols than they were even under George Bush, which is a good thing. We need to worship God. Our citizenship is in heaven.
Yeah, so, and tell you what, just got to jump in. I know you're on a roll there, but I got to jump in because we're out of time. But great point, because we can be so patriotic, sir, that sometimes we take our eyes off the kingdom of God. And we can think that God bless America equals Lord, your kingdom come to America. And they're really different. There's something bigger. Bigger than America that we're talking about. Dio, thank you for the call and that perspective. Friends, I spent years working on a commentary on Jeremiah. It's 550 pages. It's in-depth, but it's very readable. It is part of a larger commentary series, so the book itself is 928 pages, a beautiful hardcover, along with great commentaries by other scholars on Lamentations and Ezekiel. Jeremiah lived at a time of utter hopelessness. He warned his generation for 40 years. He wasn't heard. But then after he was dead, the promises of restoration came. And the promise of the new covenant that we enjoy today in Jesus was spoken from his lips. This is an expensive volume. It's a 928-page hardcover, beautiful volume. And I'm asking you to partner with us. Your gift of $50 or more, I want to send you a signed copy of this volume. Some of you have funds, you've been praying about where to give. Think of the different areas that we're touching, from the lost sheep of the house of Israel to America to the nations, and realize you can sow into one ministry and touch all of these different people groups and all of these different nations. Your gift of $50 or more, 1-800-278-9978. Signed copy of my Jeremiah commentary, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So who does God use according to the scriptures? Who does God use? You say, oh, he's got people like Peter. He's got people like Paul. He's got people like Isaiah. Moses. Well, who were these people before God called them? What was their state of life? David. 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. Are America's best days morally and spiritually behind us or ahead of us? What do you feel in your heart of hearts? I was looking through some older journal entries. Actually, I accidentally came across this one. It was from 1999, I believe. Let me see if I can find it here again. It was from 1999, and what was so interesting was that the entry itself was not related to radio. But it was a colleague of mine talking to me about influence or God calling me to have influence and make a particular difference. Now you say, well, Mike, that's nice, but I got my own life and I got my own situations to deal with. I'm only referring to myself as an example here. There's something larger. And when he spoke about influence to me, what I journaled was, I feel this calling rising again to be on national talk radio. That's what I journaled after he made that comment to me. The point being that, oh, for so many years, friends, for so many years, I would be deep in prayer, and I'd feel the Lord show me, as surely as there was a civil rights movement in America, there's going to be a moral and cultural revolution in America, and I'll get to be in the thick of it. And part of my role will be to be on national talk radio. So in other words, what I'm telling you is the fact you're hearing my voice now is part of that promise, which to me is connected with a larger promise from God for us. And with all my heart, I believe that I'm speaking to people that are moms and dads, working jobs, raising kids, some pastors, some teachers, but others that you'd say, well, I'm not really especially qualified. I'm not really highly educated. By the way, I'm educated in one particular field. God uses me in academic circles completely outside that field because it has to do with his calling, and he's the one who qualifies us. But I honestly believe I'm speaking to people today that in the natural don't look like much. And in years to come, I'll hear about how God's using you, and it'll make me jealous, and it'll take my breath away because that's who our God is. 866-34-TRUTH. Our friend Chaplain Viviana in Brooklyn, thanks for calling The Line of Fire. You're in the midst of it. You frequently will call in and tell us about the latest problem in New York. You've got the new mayor and on and on. What's your own gut feeling before the Lord about what's ahead?
I firmly believe, Michael, that Isaiah 59:1-4 is in operation right now. It says, basically, I'll let the listeners read it on their own, and I encourage them, be in scripture at this hour. It says, is God's hand not too short to save? But God is wanting to find out whether his children will cry out with tears and weeping, and whether we will be desperate enough for him versus the things of this world, comfort, ease, idols, money. And the second is, God believes, or God has shown in the scripture, that killing innocent blood or shedding innocent blood shuts up his answers to prayer. And in the latter part of Isaiah 59, it says, I can't hear you for the shedding of innocent blood.
Tell you what, stay right there. Therefore, does that mean everything's coming down? That we're at the end? Well, if we cry out, can it be turned? We'll be right back.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Look what's happening on the street. Got a revolution.
All right, look, there really was a revolution. I got caught up in it. That's how I became a heavy drug user in the late 60s, early 70s. 866-34-TRUTH. There was a counterculture revolution, just as Jefferson Airplane sung about there. And we're seeing the destructive effects of it to this day. Someone said that if you fell asleep in 1960 and woke up in the year 2000, you'd wake up to the divorce rate double, teen suicide tripled, reported violent crime up 4 times, prison population up 5 times, children born out of wedlock up 6 times, people living together out of wedlock up 7 times. And in certain of those areas, the stats have gotten worse since. We've had other attacks on marriage and family and further degeneration of church morals and values and gospel message, and on it goes. But who's to say there can't be a holy counterculture revolution based on awakening within the church that spreads into the society with a massive harvest of sinners getting saved? Where is it written that that cannot happen? Let's just go back to Brooklyn. So, Chaplain Viviana, just quickly then, your expectation for the future, what's in your heart?
I believe that God is saying to us, why not you? And thank you for bringing me back on, because God reminded me, in Uganda, they had Idi Amin as a worse dictator than anything we've seen in America. And what the pastors did, they were so desperate, they even went into the marshes to pray, because if they were found on land praying, Idi Amin's people would kill them. And God took Idi Amin out of office and gave them a revolution, spiritual revolution, that the world could not even imagine. God can do the same thing here, but will we choose to follow God's principles, God's laws? Or are we going to stay in ease and rebellion? God is giving us that gauntlet today.
All right. Thank you for weighing in. If you had been in the midst of Kampala, Uganda, in the midst of the horrors with Idi Amin, if you had been in the midst of persecution of the church, I was preaching somewhere one time, and in the guest house where I was, next to the bed, there was a book written by a believer who had survived the horrors of the days of Idi Amin, and it you'd think it's the end of the world, and yet the gospel has risen powerfully. After that, who knows what God can do in terms of turning things around? Nonetheless, I'm asking you, what's in your own heart? What do you believe personally are the best days of America ahead of us, morally and spiritually, or behind us? There's a Gallup poll. How important would you say religion is in your own life? Very important, fairly important, and not very important. Here's what's fascinating. In 1992, it was 58% of Americans said very important. It went up to 59% in 2000. And 2012, it's 56%. In other words, for 20 years, not a tremendous amount of change. Now, if you go back further, that's where you see the bigger change. For example, if you look in 2013, according to this Gallup poll, what's your religious preference, Protestant, Roman, Catholic, Jewish, another religion, or no religion? 41% of Americans today say Protestant, and 9% say Christian and are not specific about it, 24% Catholic. If you go back to 1955, Catholic number was pretty similar, but Protestant was 70%. If you go to 1964, still 70%, and then the decline begins, part of the counterculture revolution. You see that number start to drop into the 50s, and then start to, and here and there, there's a slight increase for Catholicism, but even that declines over a period of time and then ends up steady from 1955 till 2013. So the Protestant influence, which is the great majority of the church, has suffered massive decline. Massive decline. Hence, the moral decline of the country, because the church is called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And Jesus says in a different context in Matthew 6, if the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Which also means that if light is restored to us and we awaken, what can happen to the world and the society around us? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Mona in Burtonville, Maryland. What do you feel in your heart of hearts about our best days ahead of us or behind us?
Thank you, Dr. Brown, for taking my call, and thank you for the cause of Jesus Christ and the gospel. I think when I look at from a worldly standpoint, our best days are behind us. But praise be unto God, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I don't know that we are, like you said, we are supposed to be the salt and light of this earth. What comes to mind, Dr. Brown, is 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And God says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will heal their land and remove all sickness from them. Dr. Brown, we have got to understand that those who are called, who are believers in Jesus Christ, we have got to get the gospel out.
Uh-huh.
Because let me tell you, God will not turn his back on his children, those who diligently seek him. So if we do what we're supposed to do, our best days are ahead, and we're looking towards that glorious day when Jesus Christ comes back.
Yeah, Mona, amen. The hope of the gospel is always bright. Yes, for ourselves, as we're believers, the best is always yet ahead. Unless we're hellbound sinners, the best is yet ahead for us. But points well taken. Listen, 2 Chronicles 7:14 is a promise to Israel, has national implications. But the principle remains the same. Jeremiah 29, when the Jewish people were in exile, God said, and this has been a principle by which Jews have lived in exile through the centuries, that you should pray for the peace and the well-being of the city where you are in, and as it prospers, you'll prosper. Meaning that even when you're in exile passing through this world, that you have a role to intercede for where you are. And if it goes well in the nation where you are, obviously it'll be better for you. If there's war, chaos, and calamity, you'll suffer in the midst of it. Even if God helps you, you'll suffer in the midst of it. If you can be protected from that, it will be easier. But is there any limit to the gospel? Is there any limit to the hope of the gospel? My hope is not in the American government. My hope is not in the President of the United States. If we had a born-again Christian president that was living righteously, my hope would not be in the President of the United States. And my hope is not in national recovery or the greatness of America. My hope is in God. My hope is in the people of God responding to him, repenting, seeking his face, awakening, coming to us. We start to live out the gospel. Perhaps the darker things get around us, the more willing we'll be to stand up unashamed for the gospel and make Jesus known. Who knows what could happen? If we live this thing out, if we said, Lord, here I am, send me, use me. I know in the natural that the odds against us, the situation against us is completely hopeless. But since when has that influenced our faith, or should it influence our faith? Let's listen to Russell Wilson. He's being interviewed about his faith by Pastor Mark Driscoll in Seattle. This is quarterback of the Super Bowl winning Seattle Seahawks, Russell Wilson, sharing his own story.
Jesus is love. You know, at the end of the day, we're all looking for somebody to comfort us, for somebody to be there for us at all times, for somebody when we're in the worst times of our lives, when we're battling with something, with struggles, whatever it may be. You know, when we're at our highest point too, as well, when things are going really well, we want somebody to comfort us and be there for us and say, great, you know, well done, you know, and that's Jesus. Jesus has always been there. He'll never leave you, never forsake you.
So he has been personally encouraged by his faith in God. He has been personally encouraged by God's kindness in his own life. When he was a boy, his late father always used to say to him, why not you? Why not you? Why not you? He was not the tallest or the biggest or the strongest, but why not you? And here he's actually starred in baseball as well as in football, but made his mark now as a professional quarterback. He said that he thought this was a greater challenge because he's too small for the NFL, 5'11", being a quarterback. Some of the quarterbacks are 6'5" and 6'6", and he's a little guy. But at the beginning of this year, he took that same philosophy to his team and said, why not us? And I began to think about that after the Super Bowl last night, and I wrote this article, A Message from the Super Bowl, Why Not Us? Read it. Go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and click on Latest Article. When we come back, I want to take your calls, but I want to talk to you about missionary John Payton, how he got his call to the South Sea Islands. Why not you? Why can't God use you to spark revival, to spark a Jesus revolution?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. When God sent his son into the world to save the world, he did it the exact opposite of the way we would have expected, did he not? He did it by sending his son to die the lowest death known to humanity, the most humiliating, the most horrific, the most barbaric, the most shameful way to die. He doesn't come to rule and reign, and he doesn't gather around him the elite of the society. He takes a bunch of nobodies, and he dies a criminal's death. He's born into the home of a carpenter, and he grows up in nowhere's land. That's how God did it. And then God says to the Corinthians, Paul writes to the Corinthians and says this: God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. I believe God wants to shake America from coast to coast. I believe that ahead of us could be the greatest move of God the world has ever seen. Oh, it may be through all kinds of shaking. It may be in the midst of economic collapse. It may be we're on our faces crying out like never before. I've been reading an extraordinary book by Heidi Baker called Birthing the Miraculous, and it's all about everything coming out of your personal encounter with God. And she has been shot at. She's been stoned. She's been beaten. Many of her co-workers in Mozambique, Africa, have been killed for the gospel. She's been through it. It's no cakewalk. But she talks about how they had a massive increase in the gospel spreading in the midst of a horrific flood that was so terrible. Women had to climb into trees and give birth to their babies sitting in a tree, that hundreds of thousands of lives were lost or people displaced. And it was in the midst of that horror that they saw the gospel spread like never before. Who's to have the final word on this but God himself? And the less qualified we are in the eyes of man, we're often more qualified in the eyes of God. Because of our lack of qualification, it gets us leaning entirely on him. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Mike in Harwood, Maryland. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. What's your take? What do you feel in your heart?
Well, I feel that your question, are America's days morally and spiritually ahead of us? It depends on our individual and our spiritual collective perspectives. So we who are in Christ, obviously, we should be celebrating because everything's transpiring exactly as Scripture dictates. Everything that's happening, instead of being despondent, we should wake up and realize that the creation is coming to its summation. In Romans, it tells us that we are subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free. So we have great hope, we who are in Christ, and we need to spread that hope. Your name, Dr. Brown Michael, obviously, I'm sure you know this, means who is like God? Your whole life is a testimony. It's a question, and you ask that question in your show every day just by having your show. So the fact that God's providence is evident to those of us who are in Christ should give us strong hope and strong encouragement, because society's supposed to collapse. The government's supposed to collapse. Wars are supposed to happen, earthquakes in various places, and so on and so forth. Our responsibility is to stand firmly in Jesus Christ and to spread his love, his message of salvation, and also to do the kingdom work that he's called us to do.
Got it. Hey, Mike, I appreciate that. We've got the same name, Michael, who is like God. Is your trust in a denomination? Is your trust in a church leader, ministry leader? Is your trust in the Lord? In that case, why limit the possibilities? So John Payton, one of the greatest missionaries in church history, related how he received the calling to leave Scotland and serve in the South Sea Islands. Quote, "The Lord kept saying within me, since none better qualified can be got, rise and offer yourself. Almost overpowering was the impulse to answer aloud, 'Here I am, send me.'" Friends, I know some of you have been on hold for a while. Just stay with me another couple of minutes, and I want to get to your calls in the next hour. 866-34-TRUTH. Do you believe that America's best days morally and spiritually are ahead of us or behind us? In your heart of heart, what do you feel? For many years, I prayed, I fasted, I cried out to God for revival. I was consumed with it. Sometimes for days, it's all I could pray for. God, manifest your glory. God, pour out your spirit. God, shake this nation. And I felt deeply from 1983 on that I would be in the midst of a revival that touched the world. It seemed crazy. It seemed absurd. You couldn't have picked a more unlikely candidate. I was finishing up my PhD work in Semitic languages at New York University. God stirred my heart. He gave me this promise. I sought him for years. He gave me encouragement along the way. And then, 13 years later, put me right in the midst of a revival that literally touched people from around the world. 130 nations came and were touched. To this day, those touched in the revival and ministries raised up from the revival are making an amazing impact in the nations of the world. And in the midst of that move of God, God began to stir my heart, the late 90s. Just as surely as there was a civil rights movement in America, there will be a moral and cultural revolution in America, a Jesus-based gospel power, moral culture revolution, not with human arms, not with anger and hatred and force, but with the power of the gospel. To the core of my being, I couldn't shake it. I would seek the Lord year in, year out, and this would keep rising within me. And along with that, this clear sense that I was to be on national talk radio as a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. And now fast forward to 2014, here we are. Many of the things that have been laid on my heart for years are unfolding in front of our eyes. I don't even have time to tell you all of them, including Jewish Harvest and Jewish ministry, including being a voice of moral and cultural revolution, even to other nations. And why do I tell you that? Because the fact you're hearing my voice on the air, I believe, is God encouraging you. What about the promises in your life? What about the call of God on your life? What about what God wants to do in this generation? What about that lost teenager of yours that's so far from God that you know is called to preach? Who knows what God can do if we seek him in prayer and fasting? So right now, that's what we're doing in our ministry. We are just stretched to the limit. Every month, we have to believe God for $30,000 in funds that we do not have just to maintain. So we are constantly seeking him. Our staff is small. Our salaries are modest. This is all for ministry that's going out from here and to be on the radio and to be speaking to you. So we're asking you to join with us the next 21 days, next 3 weeks. Pray daily with us and for us for supernatural provision, for breakthroughs, for the floodgates of heaven to open. And if the Lord lays it on your heart to fast, join us in doing that. Let us know you're standing with us. And for those that want to help financially, we are offering my commentary on Jeremiah, which comes together with a commentary on Lamentations and Ezekiel, combined over 900-page hardcover. Your gift of $50 or more. Stand with us. We want to send this to you signed, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, in Jesus, yes, together, we are making a difference. Well, I know America is messed up, and I know much of the church is backslidden, but you know, God is ready to do something radical, and he's looking for someone just like you.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, as a follower of... Follower of Jesus, you want to make every day count. You believe even in the little things that you can make an important impact. You believe as you're praying over your baby changing a diaper, as you're depositing your paycheck in the bank and giving to your local church. Every little thing we do, we believe can make a difference and should make a difference. At the same time, there are seasons in life when you know that this is what God made me for. There are things that you do and you realize this is what God called me into the kingdom for. To use the words from Esther, for such a time as this. And that's the deep sense we have with our ministry team and what we are doing here on the Line of Fire Radio. As I serve as your voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution, slightly nasal voice today, getting over cold and bronchitis, but I'm doing well, had a restful weekend, and I'm strong and blessed. So those that knew I was a little under the weather, thanks for praying, and great to get some rest and get caught up. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I want to encourage you today. Could it be that God has brought you into the kingdom for such a time as this? Could it be that God wants to use you to make a difference in this generation? And do you personally believe that America's best days, morally and spiritually, not talking about economically or political influence, but do you believe that America's best days, morally and spiritually, are behind us or ahead of us? We're going to get to your calls shortly. Many of you have been holding over from the last hour, so I do want to hear what's in your heart. I want to share what's in mine and talk to you about this special season of 21 days of prayer and fasting that we are giving ourselves to now as a ministry team. Joey, I want you to play clip number 11. This is Russell Wilson, the Seattle Seahawks quarterback. The Seahawks won the Super Bowl decisively yesterday. And I'm sure you have committed believers on both teams. I'm not saying this is why they won, that one team had more believers than the other. But I want you to hear his testimony, clip number 11.
When I was a young kid, I used to always go to church. My parents used to always take me, and I knew about God and stuff like that, but I was always playing sports, and I was so preoccupied with that in a part of my life, and I was kind of a bad kid. I was kind of a bad kid growing up. I had a dream one night. I was at UVA football camp. It was Saturday night, and my parents were supposed to pick me up on Sunday to go to church. I had a dream that my dad passed away, and that Jesus came into the room, and he was just, basically knocking on my door saying, hey, you need to find out more about me. So that Sunday morning, I ended up going to church, and that's when I got saved. It was either June or July when I was 14 years old.
Ah, that's when he got saved. About 6 years later, his dad passes away. That's 2010, his dad dies. And his dad used to say to him as a boy, Russell, why not you? Why not you? You may be smaller, but why not you? Why can't you win? Why not you? Well, he took that attitude over to his Super Bowl team in the beginning of the season. He said to his team, why not us? I was touched by that, the impact a dad could have, saying those words to his little boy. Why not you? Why not you? And then he takes that to heart and shares it with his team. Why not us? And then they end up decisively winning the Super Bowl. It stirred me to write an article that you can read right now, a message from the Super Bowl, why not us? And regardless of what you believe about the future of America, why not you? Give me your whole list of all the reasons why God can't use you, and I say all the more can he, because this way he gets more glory. Read the article, go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, click on latest article.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come.
That was 1965, Sam Cooke singing Change Gonna Come. Bob Dylan sang Times They Are A-Changin'. And you better believe from the 60s to the generation that followed, it's a different world here in America. It is a different world here in America. There really was a revolution, a counterculture revolution. Aside from the positive movement with the civil rights and a certain positive movement with recognizing the contribution of women to society, etc., this was disastrous on a moral and cultural level with the sexual revolution and radical feminism and the pro-abortion movement and gay liberation movement and so on and so forth. The America now is different than, I don't know what the latest reality TV show, but a few years ago, you could say it was from Ozzie and Harriet to the Osbournes, from Leave It to Beaver to Glee. That even though it's not a reality TV show. So you had the positive things that took place in the 60s, most of it negative and destructive. 866-34-TRUTH. There really was a revolution. Is there another revolution ahead? Is there a nation-shaking move of God that's going to happen? It could be in the midst of economic collapse. It could be in the midst of all types of world turmoil. But in your heart of hearts, in your gut, do you believe, or based on your theology and reading of Scripture, that America's best days, morally and spiritually, are ahead or behind? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Richard from South Brunswick, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air, sir.
Oh, yeah, this is Richard. God's restoring America. It's happening again, another great awakening. I was at a prayer meeting in Trenton back on October 3rd, and Governor Beasley, former governor from South Carolina, saying how America, you know, needs to see the church on fire with Jesus, with the love of Jesus, to show Jesus to this nation, the real Jesus. I was so inspired by what he said. Afterwards, I started crying out to God, and I cried out to God, Lord, begin to bring revival to America tonight. And I was stunned, because I've been praying for 30-some years about God restoring America. And that night, Chuck Pierce was in town. He's speaking in Trenton at the same hotel, in the same room, and I had no idea what he was going to share. And he says, God's restoration of America begins here tonight. I go, wow. And he said a lot of other things, too, about, the Trenton was the turning point, you know, in the Revolutionary War. And that for the next 3 years, we're going to have great economic change, and God's people are going to have to rely upon his grace in order to forgive. He didn't go into details about what for. But it's begun. I've been praying about this for years, brother, as I know you have and many of the listeners have.
All right, so Richard, let me play the skeptic's advocate, okay?
Sure.
Come on, man. Oh, yeah, it's going to start in Trent. Oh, yeah, a so-called prophet comes in. How many other thousands of words has he given? We hear it every year. This is the year. You know, it's kind of like the Titanic sinking, and every year we get a new prophecy. This is the year for the Titanic to rise. Come on, man. That's just wishful thinking. Well, you've been praying for this for 30 years, but you feel differently now. So how do you respond to, I think, valid questions that many would, I call it the skeptic's advocate, but valid questions that many would have? Why do you literally feel that something is different now?
Well, because God is answering prayer. God is answering the prayers of the intercessors over the years who have been just crying out to him for revival, for America to be restored again. There's no other solution.
All right. So in other words, the fact that we have been desperately crying out and seeking him, that there have been national prayer movements, that there have been people soaking their pillow with tears and on, that God has not been deaf to those prayers. And there may be great, great shaking economic upheaval, but God will answer those prayers. Doesn't the book of Revelation tell us that the prayers of the saints are brought like incense to his throne? So just think of that incense going up. There's something tangible about the effect. Richard, thank you for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. And I'm only asking in your gut, what do you feel? What do you believe? Could it be that we are at that breaking point where there is such failure of our government? When I say our government, I'm not talking president, Congress individually. I'm not talking Democrat, Republican Party. I'm talking about as a whole, that there is so much distrust in our government. There is so much dissatisfaction with the government. We've made a mess of so many things. Are you really going to put your trust for America's future in the Republican Party? Are you really going to put your trust for America's future in the Democratic Party? I question your sanity. If you're going to put your trust, yeah, that's a strong statement, but I question your sanity. If you're going to put your trust for America, oh, I'm not saying one party isn't better than another. I'm not saying one party doesn't espouse more moral values than another. I'm simply saying if you're going to put your trust, I'm trusting America's future in the hands of the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. That's crazy. Sorry to say it. We should be involved politically. We do have a role to play politically. But you better believe that our trust cannot be in the government at this time. Could it be that the moral malaise is such? Could it be that the craziness of laws being passed is such? Could it be that the assault on freedom of religion and speech is such? Could it be that the loss of so many of our young people is at such a critical mass that with it, that brings a stirring of heart where we finally get desperate and call out to God? Isn't that what happened with Hezekiah? That when Isaiah the prophet tells him, set your house in order, you're going to die and not live, that he cries out to God. I mean, that was a definite word. It wasn't brought with, if you repent, if you pray. It was just brought, you're going to die and not live. And he turns his face to the wall. Remember, he didn't have any sons yet, so he had no heirs. He sets his face to the wall and he prays and he cries out and he weeps. And God hears him and gives him 15 more years. Well, could it be that just like with Jacob, that he had to get to that point of desperation, that in a sense he trusted God, but he was also a bit of a con man, not just a bit of a con man, but dishonest, outright liar at times, to try to accomplish God's will or get God's blessing? What a guaranteed way to fail. And yet God helped him and met him at certain times, and now his back's against the wall. He has no outlet. He has no hope. He has no other alternative. Esau is coming his way with 400 men. And the last word he heard from Esau is, when I see my brother, I'm going to kill him. Once my father dies, once our father Isaac dies, when I see my brother, I'm going to kill him. He hasn't seen him now in, what, 20 years or something? I mean, it's a lot of time for hatred to fester and rise. Esau's coming with 400 men. What does Jacob do? He cries out to God, I won't let you go until you bless me. And that's when his name gets changed from Jacob to Israel. That's when he prevails. Could it be that we're finally at that point? We're at that point in our own ministry, friends. And not because of bad, because of good. We are bursting at the seams. Our staff is completely stretched. I'm completely stretched. We have to believe God for $30,000 every month just to maintain where we are. And we need far more than that to walk through the open doors set before us. And we're saying, God, you've called us. You've called us. This is the very we're doing the very things you spoke to us about years and years ago. I have all these friends saying, Mike, this is the hour you were made for. These are the things we talked about years past. Here we are, and we're in that point where the only thing we can do is seek God. So we're going into a season. I ask you to join us 3 weeks of prayer and fasting. Every day, would you pray with us? Pray to our God to open up the floodgates of heaven and bring in supernatural provision. Would you do that? And if he lays it on your heart to fast any of these days, would you do that? 866-34-TRUTH. Valencia in Lodi, New Jersey. What do you feel in your heart of hearts about America's future?
Well, you were speaking before about, you know, how it looks in America now, and no reason to lose heart. You were speaking about how Africa, the state Africa was in, you know, it had no real witness for God there, but in recent years, our pastor of the church I was attending in the late 80s or early 90s had gone to Africa, and there was so much revival there, that even it was not unusual for people to be raised from the dead. And, you know, it just shows that we should not give up hope on America, should have faith and trust, believe for this country's revival, and do all that we can to implement that in our own
yes.
lives.
Yes, and if God could move in Africa, he could move in America. You say, yeah, but America's had the gospel in turn. Well, Israel had the promises of God turned away, and there were times when God brought them back. Yeah, one of my favorite quotes, it's Adoniram Judson. The future is as bright as the promises of God. Thanks, Valencia, for the call.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So look at this. I played a clip from Sam Cooke. And here it is. It's in the 60s. All right? It's in the 60s. Here's a man, a black man, in the midst of racist, segregated society where he lived, and he hears Bob Dylan's Blowing in the Wind, and he thought, you know, here's a white man writing about change coming, he's writing about racism, it's a poignant song, and then Cook hears that, he speaks with sit-in demonstrators in Durham, North Carolina, it's May of 1963, after a concert, he begins to write the song, A Change is Going to Come. We have a black president today. You may not be fans of Mr. Obama, but it is a testimony to change in America that would have shocked Sam Cooke. A black president in segregated America with much of it racist? Huh? Yeah, exactly. And there are plenty of people from the 60s who talked about those things then who are alive today. There are other changes took place in the 60s that were negative and destructive, but for years, friends, take this for what it's worth. I'm just standing here as a witness, actually sitting here as a witness, but standing positionally as a witness. For years, beginning in the late 90s, as I would be praying, when I'd get into that place of real deep communion with God and feeling just locked in, he'd start to speak to me. How did he speak? An audible voice? No, I would hear it in my inner ear. It was absolutely real. I'd learn to recognize that voice. We learn to hear how the Spirit speaks to us. And I would be gripped, and I'd journal it. As surely as there was a civil rights movement in America, there's going to be a gospel-based moral cultural revolution in America. And I knew the Lord was telling me I'm going to get to be in the thick of it. And at the same time, promises began to rise in my heart that I'd be on national talk radio. And you have to understand, number one, it was not a matter of ambition. And number two, in the natural, there's no way to do it. There's no way my schedule would permit even an extra hour a week, let alone every day, let alone 2 hours live every day. And of course, there's no funding for it. But these two promises became so intertwined that as God opened the door for me to be on radio and then on national radio on many of the stations, which I'm speaking to now, these were things I journaled years ago. It is a reminder to me that the rest is going to happen. It's counterintuitive. In the natural, it looks impossible. And in the natural, what did I say, stick a fork in it? I mean, that's the state of our nation. But with God, radical change can come. And who's it going to come through? Am I looking to the government to bring about change? Am I looking to the president to bring about change? Am I looking to the media to bring about change? I'm looking to God to bring about change. How? Through the gospel. Beginning with God's people waking up and turning to him in fresh repentance and faith. Beginning with a fresh gospel witness going out to the world. Beginning with the mass conversion of sinners. With man, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. But I want to hear from you. I want to know what's in your heart. Let's go to College Park, Maryland. William, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. How you doing? Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
You know, I've got a bigger understanding of what you're talking about since I've been listening. I might have it backwards now from what I was going to say. Certainly better things are yet to come when Christ comes back, whether it be mid, post, pre-trib or non-trib at all. He's coming back. But then I got to think about what you're talking about. You're talking about the immediate situation. And I'm thinking, you know, I believe that I'm quoting poetry, the best and worst are yet to come, you know, because I do believe that in the midst of, you know, I didn't start praying for revival until like the last 3 or 4 years. I don't know why, because I was saved a few years before that. I just, you know, I try to remember to do that. And of course, for, you know, our public servants, quote unquote leaders, and people that maybe quote unquote lead them, I'm not really sure how that goes. But at the same time, I'm thinking that that it could be none of the above, because I really don't know what God's intentions are. But
right.
I don't really know. But I can't help but pray for that. I'm thinking, what am I praying for? I'm a disciple.
Yeah, exactly.
My family, my immediate family that aren't, and the people.
Right. Why capitulate in our private prayer lives? In other words, you may have a certain eschatology that has certain expectations of the future, but then the date setting, that's questionable, right? Who knows exactly where this is going to fit, how it's going to fit. But why capitulate alone in our prayer rooms? Why not cry out to God and ask him for impossible things? Unless we get to the point like Jeremiah 7 and Jeremiah 14 and other passages where God said to him, don't pray for this nation. Unless we get to that point, then, friends, why aren't we asking God to turn the heart of the nation, or at the very least, to revive the church of the nation? Thank you for the call, 866-34-TRUTH. Do you personally believe that America's best days, morally and spiritually, are behind us or ahead of us? If you were called to be an evangelist to America, or called in from another nation to be a missionary to America, would your attitude be, what an awesome harvest field? What great potential? What could God do here? Or would you think, nah, it's over. Nothing's going to happen here. They had their chance and they blew it. I wonder what your attitude would be. Friends, every one of you can pray. If you're bedridden, if you're preaching to millions, what we have in common, if you're a billionaire, if you don't have a dime in your pocket, everyone can pray. And I'm asking you, if you believe in what we're doing, if you believe in the work of this ministry, if you believe in the Line of Fire broadcast, and if you believe in what God's called me to do, would you stand with us in prayer these next 3 weeks? We are at the bursting point. It's as Hezekiah said many years ago, it's time to deliver the baby, but there's no ability to do it. Meaning, here are these open doors set before us to touch many millions more. Here are opportunities that we've dreamed about for years. Even being on the air every month stretches us, so we have to believe God for $30,000 that we don't have in the natural every month. And God's faithful, and we're stretched. So we're asking you to join with us for supernatural provision. I'm going to be posting on the website and sending out an email in a little while saying exactly what you can pray for us with and believe God for us with. If you're not on our email list, go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Right on the homepage, just click on the email icon so you can get that e-blast from us a couple of hours from now. But would you join with us and believe God if he lays it on your heart to fast these next 3 weeks, whatever's on your heart, join with us. And if you want to stand with us financially, I want to send you my Jeremiah commentary. It's 550 pages. It will immerse you in the Word and open up this book like never before for you. And it comes together with commentaries on Lamentations and Ezekiel by other scholars. So all told, 928 pages, a beautiful hardcover. Your gift of $50 or more to stand with us, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the broadcast. It is your slightly nasal voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. By God's grace, had a restful weekend fighting off bronchitis and a cold, and getting stronger by the day, even stronger by the moment. 866-34-TRUTH. Welcome to the line of fire. We're asking a simple question. Simple question. Do you believe that America's best days are behind us or ahead of us? I got a book a few months ago by Dr. David Jeremiah. By the way, Dr. Jeremiah is going to be on with us at this very time tomorrow, and he's coming to North Carolina for a very special meeting in a few weeks, so we'll be announcing that. But he wrote a book, I Never Thought I'd See the Day. And he's a little bit older than me. I guess he's in his early 70s. I'm in my late 50s. I feel like a kid in comparison. I'm sure he feels like a kid in comparison to many others. But, you know, he articulates how he never imagined he would see certain things happen in his day in terms of spiritual moral decline in America. And they've happened quite dramatically. Here, look at this. According to a Gallup poll, those who identify as Protestant in America, or Christian, non-specific, 41% 2013 said Protestant. Christian, non-specific, said 9%. And then Catholic was 24%. Now, the Catholic number, if you go back to 1955, that was at 22%. So that number has been pretty stable. It's been as high as 28%, 29%. But here, 24%, so pretty stable from 55 to 2013. And when they were doing the surveys way back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, even partway into the 90s, they didn't have the Christian non-specific category on their poll. But look at this. 1955, 70% of Americans identified as Protestant. 70% identified as Protestant. Today, that number is 41%. Now, you have this Christian non-specific category, which is 9%. So even if you combine those two, that would drop things. That would drop things down to 50% from 70%. That's a pretty dramatic decline, friends. Pretty dramatic decline. And if you look at the number of total professing Protestants and Catholics in America in 1955, it's 92%. Today, it's 74%. And when you realize that out of that 74%, there's a large number that's not truly saved, that doesn't really know the Lord, then you realize, whoa, well, that explains things. When we have compromise in our own midst, when we have backsliding in our own midst, let alone the moral degeneration of society in general. Remember, we're the light, we're the salt, we're the moral conscience of society, to use the words of Dr. Martin Luther King. In the words of Jesus in Matthew 6, if the light within you is darkness, different context, but same message. If the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Friends, no wonder we're in the state we're in. But here's the good news. God could bring revival to us. God could bring, hey, look at it like this. Is it too late for your own life? Is it too late for revival in your life? Is it too late for the fire of God to fall in your life? Is it too late for you to have a life of prayer like you've never had, to know the Lord like you've never had, to be a passionate witness like you've never been? Or maybe you were in the past and you're not now. Is it too late to recover your first love? Well, here's the answer. Are you breathing? If you're breathing, it's not too late. Forget about the nation for a moment. What about you individually? Why not say, Lord, here I am. I'm going to seek you. I want to be used by you. Here I am. Send me, use me. We'll be right back with your calls.
God of light, hear our cry. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know what personally blesses me is when I hear from folks who had a certain position scripturally, but I challenged them on it, and they got in the Word, and they studied it, and they read, and they prayed, and they switched their views, not just because I was a persuasive speaker, but because it caused them to get deeper into the Word. Are America's best days morally and spiritually ahead of us or behind us? In your heart of hearts, what do you believe? Based on what I see around me, based on my understanding of history, based on patterns that I've seen over the centuries as I've read history and looked at the Word, everything says behind us. Based on my relationship with God and what I believe He's spoken to me, I say ahead of us. In other words, my mind may tell me one thing, but you know, your mind is not always the final arbiter. I don't mean that we shut our minds off, but I mean sometimes our mind can say, this is hopeless. This, you know, Jesus, this is hopeless. There's no way anything's going to happen. He's dead. She's dead. And what does He say? Don't fear. Believe. Only 866-34-TRUTH. Stephen in Clearwater, Florida. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now that fire is the cleansing fire of persecution. And I believe that we are going to have a great revival. But the blood of the martyrs was like seed. And when the Hebrews were being beaten by their taskmasters, the more that they were severely mistreated, the greater their numbers grew. So I see two things taking place. It sounds like they're in opposition, but they really are not. One is this, as persecution will be here, like it is at every place else in the world, we are going to see a revival taking place. But that fire is not only going to do a cleansing, it's also going to do a separation, because the scripture also tells us that there's a great falling away, that the love of most will grow cold, that there's an apostasy. There's a lot of people who are in church right now singing praise Jesus, but when it comes to laying down their life for Him, it might be revealed that they really aren't in love with Him enough to lay their lives down. So for America, if you're looking in the natural, the economics and all these things, well, that is not going to get better. But spiritually, there's going to be a tremendous move of God taking place. And we are going to be like the third world nations, every place else in the world. And we are going to know that He is our Lord and Savior, and those who stand firm to the end shall be saved. And that persecution is on some way. We can tell, because the Holocaust didn't just happen. The Germans started in the newspapers, in the media, on the radio broadcast, started marginalizing and dehumanizing Jews as vermin and eaters. And the came night of Kristallnacht, that the German friends and neighbors of the Jews didn't raise a hand to help those Jews who were being taken to cattle cars. Well, Christians in this country, in case you haven't noticed, have been marginalized. We are abortion doctor killers. We are intolerant of the homosexual movement. And those words have been out there for quite a long time for a purpose.
Yeah, so the rising hostility, and even if we don't draw an exact Holocaust parallel in terms of, no, I don't believe those opposing us want to round us up in concentration camps and kill our children without question. Well, I mean, some actually say time to throw the Christians back to the lines. And Stephen, so as not to downplay what you're saying, 2008 elections when President Obama was elected, but Proposition 8, which stood for marriage in California, was upheld. It was called Proposition Hate. And there were people saying time to throw the Christians to the lions, and some of the harshest words imaginable being spoken by some of the demonstrators to say there is extreme hostility. What happens if we get blamed for an economic collapse? What happens if believers get demonized in some other way? One way or another, we should expect persecution. We should expect persecution. You're absolutely right. All those who live godly lives in Messiah Jesus will be persecuted. 2 Timothy 3:12, John 15:18. If the world hates you, Jesus said, remember it hated me first, and on and on. Blessed are those, Matthew 5:10. Blessed, truly happy are those who are persecuted for righteousness. So as awakening happens, of course there's going to be separation. Matthew 24:12 could be rendered, the love of many will wax cold. Either way, it is speaking of an apostasy among many. We're seeing that. So will we have our cake and eat it too? Will we have a great outpouring of the Spirit and a mighty move of God in America? And we just kind of sit home and feast? I don't think so. Thank you for the sobering words. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Wyona in... Well, I was going to carry. I won't. So I'll stay in North Carolina. Raleigh, North Carolina. Steve, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you for having me. It's interesting that I don't mean to sound flippant at all, but you definitely have confirmed the things I was thinking. And looking at the state in my physical mind, it does look like, you know, we are, you know, our better times are behind us. If we don't, as Christians, personally, do something different. I mean, Christianity, in my opinion, and I'm not saying this is for the whole, but a lot of individuals see Christianity like a tattoo, like it's the cool thing to do. And no one individually is taking a stand, you know, to have revival within themselves, have revival within their homes. Because you talk about Dylan and talk about people that you know, and I don't know where their faith was at that point, but, you know, if a non-believer could even have Christ's principles at that point, it was at least promoting some kind of change. But if you look at the believers and you don't see any light from the believers, or you know, they're flippant, it's hard for, you know, the non-believer to stand on even Christ's principles.
Yeah, and Steve, when you mentioned, you know, non-believers having certain principles, a lot of what happened in the counterculture revolution in the 60s had some good ideals, and there were injustices that were being confronted. However, what happened was that the church didn't recognize the season, didn't recognize the harvest, didn't recognize the potential. And for the most part, aside from the civil rights movement and a couple of other positive things that happened, it was basically sex, drugs, rock and roll, Eastern religion. And it brought about terrible moral deterioration. Hey, Steve, thank you for the call. Listen, friends, think of this. Think of this, all right? Look at stats about obesity in America. They're devastating. You hear about more and more little kids, excuse me, who are obese. You hear about more and more situations where, I mean, we got a real crisis, a real health crisis, and there are other nations even worse than America. It's devastating to look at. However, is that what you think of when you look in the mirror? If you're overweight, I'm overweight. When you look in the mirror, do you think, man, America is obese? Boy, the problems in America are mad. The problems with obesity and the healthcare related issues that come out and on and on and on and on. And how are we going to turn this around? And we got our whole culture where you got kids sitting in front of a video game instead of out playing like they used to, and on and on and on and on. And, you know, all the way our food culture is based and how easy it is to, you look at all this and it's hopeless. But you look in the mirror and you think, okay, even if I'm kind of hopeless to myself, I mean, some have really struggled with terrible obesity, and my heart goes out to you. But you just know one pound a day, a week, a month, 1 inch every few weeks, you know, just take little steps, take little steps. And then little by little, and that's the kind of change that can be sustained. And then suddenly you start to feel different, look different, and then you really start to get in shape. Wow. Wow. So what I'm saying is, individually, why not you? Why not you? What's stopping you from going after God like you never did before? What's stopping you from taking a tiny incremental step in the right direction? What's stopping you from seeking God earnestly and saying, God, I can't live the way I've been living any longer? I can't go on the way I've been living any longer. There must be more. Some of the people who've had the greatest impact in world history, They just made themselves available. In fact, we come back, I want to read a quote from Gladys Aylward, one of the most courageous missionaries of the last century, of legendary courage. She was rejected by the Mission Society. She was rejected. Yeah, I'm aware. I'm looking at an article right now on my screen. Police had to form human shield around pro-lifers to protect them from abortion activists. I mean, you're talking about stuff where the ugliness and the hatred directed against us for standing for life is intense. And I think people really would get very violent against pro-lifers. But the tide continues to turn towards pro-life in America. With God, it's possible.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Look, it really happened. I was part of this negative, destructive counterculture revolution. Caught up with it in the late 60s. Started getting high at 14, shooting heroin at 15, radically saved at 16 in 1971. That was the Jefferson Airplane. I heard them in concert. They became, for a while, the Jefferson Starship. I heard Hendrix and Grateful Dead and Zeppelin and Jethro Tull and The Who and the great bands of that day got caught up with the whole culture. My generation, The Who, talking about my generation. Look, there was a revolution, a destructive revolution. The fact is, if that could happen with human effort, human power, to whatever degree the enemy, Satan himself, was involved, what could happen with God's power, God's spirit? So here's Gladys Aylward. She feels called to be a missionary to China. She's a British housemaid. In those days, they made next to nothing, next to nothing. And she was rejected for service by the Board of China Inland Mission because of a serious learning disability. So she saves her meager funds over a period of years and just leaves by herself, gets on a train and goes to China. I mean, she ends up having to get off the train in the middle of a snowstorm in Siberia in a war zone. I mean, it's an unbelievable story. She goes to China without formal support. Her courageous service is such a Hollywood movie ends up being made of it. I only saw part of the movie, but Gladys Aylward was a little gal, and the one playing her in the movie was a big gal, so that was a little different. But listen to what she said years later. I don't know why, when I was writing this quote out last night, I started crying. Something about it really touches me. So let me get myself together here. She said there was somebody else. I don't know who it was. God's first choice. It must have been a man, a wonderful man, a well-educated man. I don't know what happened. Perhaps he died. Perhaps he wasn't willing, and God looked down and saw Gladys Aylward. I don't know if I'm God's first choice for the job I'm doing or the 30th choice, but I know he looked down and found me. And he's looking down right now to find many of you to say, well, will you serve here, or we have a need here, or will you give yourself to this? Will you? And that's who he works through. That's who he works through. So look, you have people so angry with the pro-life movement that one gal tried to jump on pro-lifer Kristen Hawkins, and this gal is holding a sign describing herself as fetus slayer. She's saying, yeah, that's who I am. That's what I do. That's, you know, protesting against pro-life. And yet many of these people, abortion doctors, nurses, they end up getting saved, and they end up becoming champions of the pro-life movement. Look, the woman in Roe v. Wade, the whole thing was a lie in terms of what got to the court. She ends up getting saved and becoming a pro-life champion. Why not? We're talking about God. We're talking about what God can do. I tell you again, the fact that I'm on the radio daily, speaking to you as a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution is part of a promise God gave me years ago that there would be a moral and cultural revolution in America as real as the civil rights movement, that would be gospel-based, that would be about Jesus, that would be empowered by the gospel, by the Spirit, and I'd get to be in the thick of it on national radio. Well, here we are. That reminds me that I'm not just on the air to entertain you, and I don't think you're listening for that reason, but to help spark revival in our own hearts and lives and to help spark a Jesus-based moral and cultural revolution, not fought with human effort and human weapons, but with the power of God. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me try to grab one more call. All right, let's try Atlanta. Whoa, well, we'll give it one more shot. All right, we're done. 3 out of 3. I actually was praying, should I go to the phones for one more call? So we're done with calls. I spent years working on a commentary on Jeremiah. And it's a difficult book. It's a painful book. He preaches and ministers for 40 years, and the people don't hear him. And he watches his nation fall under divine judgment. 40 years. And much of the time, he's just about all alone, people trying to kill him, the religious establishment against him, the political establishment against him. And yet, the words he spoke about a new covenant have come true. And the restoration he promised, much of it happened in the generation after he died, or two generations after he died. And much of the rest of it is still to happen. That tells me, with God, all things are possible. We haven't fallen as low as the nation of Judah fell in the days of Jeremiah to the point of complete divine crushing judgment and the nation going into exile. That has not happened. But what has happened, is that we have been in absolutely precipitous times, and we are in the midst of massive moral and spiritual decline. It doesn't take a prophet or prognosticator or an acute social political commentator to know that. That is absolutely totally clear. But in the midst of it, is God stirring hearts? In the midst of it, is it possible that God could stir up a remnant of his people to seek him earnestly? Is it possible that he could pour out his Spirit? In the words of Russell Wilson, the quarterback of the Super Bowl winning Seattle Seahawks, why not us? Maybe that was a message God wanted to speak to all of us. I wrote an article, a message from the Super Bowl, why not us? Read it. You'll be encouraged. Your heart will be stirred. Read it at AskDrBrown.org. Just click on latest article to take you to the link. Friends, this is the very hour we've been raised up for, and I believe God is looking for yielded vessels, for men and women who'll say, Lord, here I am, send me. For men and women who'll quit playing games with the world and playing games with sin and say, Lord, here I am, send me, use me. Why not? Why not you? Why not me? Why not now? We are entering today into 21 days of prayer and fasting. If you believe in the work we're doing, would you pray with us? Would you go to God and ask him to open the windows of heaven with his provision so we can do what he's calling us to do? Our salaries are modest. Our staff is small and stretched. All of the money we're believing God for is to go right back out for the gospel. But we have major needs, and the only thing we know to do is to turn to God. So would you pray with us, and if the Lord lays it on your heart, to fast as well different times during these next 21 days. And for those who can help us financially, your gift of $50 or more will send you 928-page hardcover volume, my commentary on Jeremiah, plus commentaries on Lamentations and Ezekiel. Your gift of $50 or more. Be as generous as you can, whatever the Lord prompts you to do. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, as I look at the state of the nation with man, it's absolutely impossible. But with God, the best is yet ahead.